This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Borges injury prevention specialist Megan Gose discusses the dangers of falling and ways to reduce the risk. But first, Perrigo stockholders have until November 13th to decide if they want to sell their shares to pharmaceutical rival Mylan. Several overtures have been made to buy Perrigo, which makes prescription and over-the-counter store brand pharmaceuticals. So far, the company, which has its corporate offices in Allegan, has turned down all offers from Mylan. So now Mylan has taken its offer directly to Perrigo shareholders. David Flanagan is a professor of management in Western Michigan University's Haworth College of Business. His research focuses on, among other things, mergers and acquisitions. David Flanagan, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you very much.
So just from the outset here, if you're Mylan and you're looking for a company to acquire, what makes you look a little bit east, since Mylan at least has most of its offices in Pittsburgh, and say a little bit west, excuse me, and say, we would like to buy Perrigo?
Well, these are both world companies, and they're both operating in global markets. And so what they're really looking for is an opportunity for growth. They're looking for somebody who's not in markets that they are in. They're looking for somebody who has markets they're in where they can get economies of scale and maybe some market power. They could be focusing more on organic growth, which is growing their own company or using smaller mergers and acquisitions that they can build on. But they've decided that a path to immediate fast growth is to buy Perrigo, which would then make Mylan the largest generic manufacturer in the world.
So if you are in the corporate offices of Perrigo, why do you hear Mylan's overtures and say, at least so far, thanks but no thanks?
Well, for Perrigo, if we go with the idea that they're really thinking about their long-term stockholders, Perrigo may sincerely believe that their company is worth more than the Mylan offer. We realize it is a premium that Mylan is offering, and it's a pretty small premium based on today's stock price. I figure it's about 6%. But we have to realize that Perrigo's stock price has been bid up because of this. If I go to the lowest point that Perrigo's stock price has been in the last 52 weeks, then it's about a 20% premium. But that's what the marginal shareholder believes that Perrigo is worth. There are a lot of people out there that are much more optimistic about Perrigo, and if the stock price went up 6% or they had an offer to sell at 6% more, they wouldn't immediately sell. So I'm not going to discount the idea that Perrigo is saying to themselves, we're worth more than that to our stockholders to hold on to it. So of course, there's always part of it that it's not always great to be on the receiving end of a takeover if you're top management. You're not going to end up being CEO anymore. So that's part of it. But I'll go for now with the idea that Perrigo is saying this offer just isn't adequate, and giving our shareholders 2 shares of Mylan shares or 2.3 shares of Mylan shares plus the cash in the long run is not as good a deal as holding onto the Perrigo stock.
Have we reached the point now that there is a hostile takeover underway that we can safely say that negotiations are not going on anymore? In other words, perhaps when Mylan refused the first few offers, when Perrigo refused the first few offers from Mylan, maybe they were trying to bid up the price. But at this point, if we're at the stage of a hostile takeover, can we say that no one is doing anything here to truly negotiate?
I think we've kind of gone beyond hostile, because there are a lot that are hostile, but it's more like, no, that's not good enough, go away. The other company comes back with a higher bid and we say, okay, sounds good. We'll recommend to our shareholders you do that. And it becomes a negotiating tactic. Given the back and forth lawsuits, given the words that have been exchanged between these two companies, it's gone from really hostile to antagonistic. So my hunch is there aren't going to be a lot of further negotiations between the two management teams.
Hostile takeover, in terms of its definition, is one company going directly to the shareholders of another, right? And going around corporate management.
Without corporate management's blessing. And again, that can happen. And often what happens is we say, we're going to offer you $50 a share. We say, that's no good, go away. They call it hostile. Then they come back later and say, okay, we'll give you $55 a share. And we say, okay, that's great.
And then recommend to the shareholders,
and
perhaps
then we'll say to and either be neutral with the shareholders or recommend to the shareholders that they go forward with it. So hostile can be kind of a dynamic thing.
as you say, this one has kind of taken another step here. We've gone from hostile to antagonistic. There's been lawsuits back and forth. Perrigo claiming that Mylan has made misleading statements about Perrigo. Mylan has then countersued and said that Perrigo said things about their company which are not true. At the end of the day, is this the sort of thing that poisons the water, even if these two companies at some point end up merging?
I would think so, because they're basically calling each other liars, and that's really hard to come back from. Hostile takeovers don't happen that often. Truly hostile, antagonistic to the end. Any takeover is hard to pull off, even when the two sides get along at the start. I mean, marriage is rough, even when you like each other. When you go in hating each other, it's extremely difficult. And having that bad blood kind of in the water at the start will make it very difficult for Mylan, if they're successful, to integrate the Perrigo operations.
Is it possible that even if a merger makes perfect sense on paper, and we're not saying this one does, but hypothetically, if the merger makes perfect sense on paper, that going through this whole process of hostile takeover, nasty words back and forth, means at the end of the day, the end product is not what you had hoped for in terms of bringing these two companies together?
Absolutely, because these two companies are going to have to work together. Mylan feels they can get a lot of synergies, which is some learning from each other. Some is going to come through layoffs, getting rid of duplicate processes, things like that. In order to do that effectively, you can't have everybody fighting tooth and nail. There has to be some feeling that there's a greater good there and this is a good product. And from the outside, it sure doesn't look like there's that feeling that, you know, this is inevitable or this is just business. There's a thought that this has almost become personal.
In the past, you have commented on other mergers and have said that sometimes companies don't really think about the bad blood that might get created, or they don't think about how people view that company which is taking over, that you're just looking perhaps at dollars and cents, or at least the way it looks on the balance sheet. Has Mylan overlooked that here, or does it seem that they've overlooked that they may be seen as the bad guy when this is all said and done, even if they get to acquire Perrigo?
Mylan's been through a lot of interesting boardroom intrigue, to say the least. Some people say that the Perrigo offer was really a takeover defense to keep Teva Pharmaceuticals from buying Mylan. Now, Mylan fought Teva tooth and nail, even though Teva made a pretty good offer, and they used some interesting defense tactics. And finally, Teva said the heck with it, and they went and made another smaller acquisition, which they feel that they can bring in and do successfully. It is something they have to realize, that you can get the winner's curse. Yeah, wow, we won. Look, we bought Perrigo. We won this tender offer war. But now you're cursed that you're stuck with it. Yeah, you've won. You've paid a premium. You've promised a lot of synergies. You have to make it work. And certainly coming in with a bad reputation, or a reputation in some ways of hypocrisy, that we fought Teva tooth and nail. We employed a lot of interesting strategies to do it. And then we called Perrigo names because they wouldn't, you know, concede to our offer. It's certainly not going to make it easy in the eyes of investors, and certainly with the eyes of employees of the company.
You have in the past expressed some skepticism about companies trying to acquire other companies. And you've said that sometimes, you know, people overlook some of the problems that come about when you bring about a big acquisition. When you get into hostile takeovers, does that just add to the skepticism that someone like you has looking at it from the outside?
Absolutely, because these are all about implementation. It's not something where it's all going to be done come November. It's going to take years for them to figure out how to bring these two companies together and do it effectively. And there are going to be lots of unforeseen costs. They're promising a lot of synergies, a lot of money savings, or a lot of revenue enhancements because of this merger. The real trick is actually coming through on those promises. And that takes a different kind of management skill than what you can do through public announcements to faraway shareholders. That's got to be more up close every day, gaining people's trust and moving forward. Most big mergers and acquisitions, and for Mylan, this would be a big merger and acquisition, don't work out very well for the acquiring firm because they are just so hard to implement. So any of them, I'm skeptical of. But this one probably especially so, given the footing they're getting off on. I have a different view of business. I don't think business is played out in Wall Street with all these kinds of things. I think it's management taking a long-term view and figuring out how can we get costs down? How can we make our customers happier, expand customers in a profitable way? And that's a day-to-day working with people, developing a culture, thinking about your processes kind of thing. And that's what will have to take place after all this boardroom drama and Wall Street drama is done. If the acquisition actually goes through.
Is a merger and acquisition more a way to acquire the work that some other company has done? Is that how that is often viewed, as opposed to, as you say, the day-to-day making your product better, bringing your costs down sort of work?
Well, there can be good reasons. I mean, there may be redundancies where, you know, we don't need two chief financial officers anymore. We may be able to make better use of certain plants and things like that. And some of those types of things in a non-hostile environment could work out in Perrigo's favor, because Perrigo is very, very good at manufacturing these pharmaceuticals. Another reason to do them could be market power, where we both sell the same kind of a product to the same customer and we won't be competing against one another. That's one that's going to be really interesting, because antitrust authorities are going to take a long look at anything that's going to make the world's biggest generic pharmaceutical maker. And they're going to take a long look at this one. And what they normally do is say, well, here's two areas where you guys really compete. You have to sell one or the other to somebody else so we keep that competitive mix. My worry here is Mylan has basically said, we'll do whatever it takes to get through antitrust authorities. And I don't know if that's great business, because you need to be flexible. Sometimes the antitrust authorities will tell you so many things that it makes the deal no longer attractive. You can't get the economies of scale. You can't get, you know, the market power that the antitrust authorities are trying to take away. But even the economies of scale go away. One of the greatest CEOs are often thought of all time was Jack Welch at General Electric. And one thing that he did that I was very impressed with is towards the end of his career, General Electric was going to buy Honeywell, and this was going to be a huge acquisition for General Electric. Well, it was going through fine, and the antitrust authorities said, well, in order to finish this deal, you need to sell off all these assets. Jack Welch took a look at it and with his team and said, well, there's no real reason to do it anymore, and they walked away. Mylan is kind of saying, no matter what they say, we're not going to walk away. And that's somewhat problematic. There's a lot of challenges that this acquisition would face, even if it's approved by shareholders.
You've mentioned, you know, some of the antitrust regulations. Does this get complicated at all by the fact that Perrigo is now what they call domiciled in Ireland, that they still have mainly their offices and operations are in Allegan and other parts in the United States, but for tax purposes, they have established their headquarters as Ireland, and also Mylan has established their headquarters overseas. Is that going to add layers of regulatory approval that they're going to have to get through?
Absolutely. Mylan's in the Netherlands, and in Perrigo, while all their administrative offices are in Allegan, is domiciled in Ireland with these inversions. And that's a whole nother story to talk about. But it certainly adds an awful lot of legal complexities. We're really working with three countries' legal systems here in a lot of ways. One thing, for instance, with Irish law, for you to force out minority shareholders, meaning you have to take the deal, you have to have 80%. They'll have to have 80% of Perrigo shareholders tendering their shares to force out the other 20%. Mylan has said, even if we just get 50%, that's okay. But it leaves it kind of in limbo what happens with that stock, because Mylan will have control of the company, but there will still be this Perrigo stock floating around that people own that hasn't been tenured. And I can't even begin to figure out how they're going to sort all that out. So there are complications when you look at the laws of these different countries. It was interesting when Mylan was fighting Teva. They used an interesting takeover defense, which could only be really used through the Netherlands, could be used other places, but it was a special to the Netherlands called a stitching defense, where they actually set up another company, which is a shell company, if I understand it correctly, which was owned by Mylan, but had nothing really in it, but had veto power over the acquisition. And so the laws of these different countries definitely come into effect with these types of things, and it makes it extremely complicated.
As you noted before, you take Perrigo at their word that they just don't see this as an attractive enough offer financially. Is the idea of a lawsuit back and forth here, could it be a way, at least on the Perrigo end, of gumming up the works a bit, slowing things up, making it more difficult for Mylan to get its message across to Perrigo shareholders?
Well, absolutely. And it could be a harassing thing, but it could also be that they're saying, listen, these are things that we believe are false that Mylan is saying. And it's difficult. I can't get in the heads of all of the Perrigo top managers. They may not even realize what they're doing. They may be rationalizing that this is a bad thing. And it's difficult. We're dealing with human beings here. It definitely makes things a little more difficult for Mylan, but at the same time, it may be that Perrigo simply saying, no, we have an obligation to say these are not factual statements that Mylan is making, and we need to let our stockholders and people know that.
We mentioned earlier that there could be some complications from the fact that these companies have domiciled overseas, so you have more regulatory eyes looking at the deal, I guess. Does the lawsuit, and now counter lawsuit by Mylan, also create complications that make this even more difficult to get to completion at some point?
I think a lot of it is it takes the air out of the room. The big thing that I worry about as a person who wants business to succeed is I'm sure the talk all summer long in the Mylan board meetings and with the Mylan top management team has been first the Teva takeover and this Perrigo takeover and all this discussion. And you wonder, are they really thinking about how do we make good generic pharmaceuticals at a reasonable price and make good money off of it? And that's my biggest worry about all these sideshow things, all the regulations they're going to have to deal with, all the back and forth lawsuits and things like that, is it simply takes all the air out of the room for these companies. And I would hope, you know, from what I've heard, Perrigo just keeps saying business as usual. We're going to keep working with the idea that we're going to be a standalone company. But there's a worry that nobody ends up minding the store because we're so busy playing this merger and acquisition game. And we saw that to a certain extent with Mercedes and Chrysler. And that was a friendly combination where for 3 or 4 years, the big topic of conversation was how do we do this acquisition? How do we deal with the merger? How does this all come together? And they kind of forgot to keep making really good quality cars, and both companies suffered.
David Flanagan, thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you, Gordon. I appreciate it.
David Flanagan is a professor of management in Western Michigan University's Hayworth College of Business.